Our hymn this morning will be 175. We'll begin with stanza 1. We'll close with stanza 4. John 19:19. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." In Jesus' name, beloved of God. We just sang, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." But on that day, no one in Jerusalem would have called any cross wondrous. It was an instrument of torture and execution, as you well know. And yet, because of what happened on that one cross at that time in history, it has become a treasured symbol to Christians. Think of all the forms that artists and craftsmen have given it over the years. You have the Cross of Lorraine, Cross in the Triangle, the Budded Cross, which becomes the Cross Fleurée. You have the Eastern Cross with that little footstool at the bottom. This one is combined with the Greek Victor's Cross. The Celtic Cross, that's very common. What's that one? St. Andrew's Cross. Salem Cross, more familiar perhaps, the Maltese Cross, the Jerusalem Cross, the Victor's Cross. That's using the Greek cross and putting the Greek term for victor on the... Recognize the Irish cross, also called the Ionic cross. A Greek cross with the words light and life in it. Phos and Zoe. The light of life. St. George's cross. Lots of crosses and crowns seen in church windows. There's another form of it there. This is just one page of all the crosses and crowns. And that's not even mentioning the Tau cross, the Latin cross, the graded cross, cross of triumph, the cross pate. Here it is, only the second day of Lent, and already, if it seems like a long season to you, there isn't time anymore to consider the message of all of the different crosses that have been drawn and used to symbolize what Christ did for us on that Latin cross. There is one more, though, that is especially suggested by John 19:19. That's the patriarchal cross, with the cross piece at the top of a Latin cross, meant to symbolize Pilate's notice, which we usually abbreviate with the letters I-N-R-I. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That notice was so striking that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all mention it in their Gospels. We know the author, Pilate, don't we? When he examined Jesus, he found no fault in him. He knew why the Jewish leaders wanted Jesus out of the way. He tried to talk the people out of their request. He tried to let Jesus go under various pretenses. He tried to stir up the sympathy of the people by bringing him out bleeding and bruised with a crown of thorns. And when they threatened to tell the emperor that Pilate was disloyal for letting an enemy king escape, Pilate caved in and ordered Jesus crucified. When his standing with the emperor, his job, was threatened, then Pilate washed his hands and said, "There is nothing more I can do." Pilate could be influenced by threats and promises, just as we all can, if it's left up to our sinful flesh. Pilate, however, was also like us in that he did not like getting pushed around, whether in the hallway or anywhere else. And he did not like getting threatened by the Jews whom he ruled. So he put the sign on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." John calls it a title. Matthew and Mark add that it was the accusation against the condemned man. This sign was to show the cause of death, but Pilate put it up to make a laughing stock of the people who had pressured him into signing the execution order. What a poor people this must be, whose king can be so humiliated, defenseless, stripped, and nailed to a cross. That was the message Pilate conveyed. Perhaps in addition, he also wanted to justify his own inaction by pointing out that Jesus was from Nazareth and not from within his own jurisdiction. Of course, what Pilate did not realize through all of this was that the charge was true. Jesus was the promised king of old, the descendant of David. At the very start of his ministry, he had surprised Nathanael by telling them that he had seen him under the fig tree. And Nathanael, who had doubted the word of Philip, then declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Rex Judaeorum. Now the truth was proclaimed on the cross for all to read in three major languages of the Roman world. The truce Israel, all believers, would be found in all lands, speaking all languages. And yes, it was also too true that this king's people were too poor to give him the honor that he deserved. The people he came to save were dead in trespasses and sins. They were a lowly bunch, even the ones following him, spiritually impoverished sinners. What the king suffered was exactly what they all deserved. You see, there was another writing on the cross too, an invisible writing on that cross that makes it a wondrous cross for us. In Colossians 2, we read, "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the handwriting with its regulations that was against us, that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross." This writing was also an accusation, but against us. Paul speaks of it like a promissory note when a debt is incurred. It would normally be in the handwriting of the debtor. This writing then was not Pilate's, but ours on the cross. We can see our sin and our guilt. And that was the cause of his death, as the shepherd king laid down his life for the flock. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Our great debt was nailed to that wondrous cross and removed from us. And because we rejoice so to see that debt removed, we groan to see our sin and guilt daily reappearing. Yet His cross still stands before our eyes, reminding us how He canceled the handwriting that was against us and forgave us everything. Jesus of Nazareth, King of Judeans, were the whole realm of nature mine, He would still be my king too. Stanza 4.